to proclaim liberty to captives.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Luke, who begins this Gospel addressing the governor, Theophilus, says, "I write this gospel down in an orderly sequence for you so that you may realize the certainties of the teaching you have received." The tradition was passed down. It came down from the apostles who explained to the people what had happened in their midst. This was not a news story like CNN or Fox or something like that. But it was passed down, and it was legible. They could read it, those who were taught. Jesus, surprisingly, knew how to read. Jesus was one of the very few in the society who could read. He read the scroll to the people. He read from the prophet Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." The glad tidings that he brings and the glad tidings that the church brings are passed down. They're handed down in tradition, just as the tradition was passed down to those people in Jerusalem when Ezra the priest was reading from the scroll the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. He was teaching them, in the presence of the governor, Nehemiah, what they needed to do because they had forgotten their tradition. They had forgotten what it was to worship the Lord their God, because they were the remnant, the people who were left behind, the people who did not get carried off to the land of Babylon. They were not the ones that were enslaved in Babylon, but they were the ones that the exiles encountered when they came back. Now, think of it. The exiles were careful to maintain their religion. Otherwise, it would not have come down to us. There would have been no remnant. There would have been no Jewish religion. But God preserved among the people in Babylon the scrolls of the law. And what were the scrolls of the law? Not primarily things about morality, like the Ten Commandments, but predominantly what was correct and divine worship. What was it to enter into the mystery of God in the temple? It was set out in minute detail what the priests were to do in the house of God. And that was what the people were hearing read to them on that day. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep. For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. Why were they weeping? They were realizing that what they had been doing in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, was not what the Lord their God had commanded them to do. They had not been offering divine worship correctly. And these people eventually, even after 500 years, were encountered by the Jews, and they were called Samaritans. They were called Samaritans because they were from Samaria. They were exiled to Samaria because only the purity of worship could be maintained in the temple. The other things had to go. The things that they had picked up, the things that they had innovated, the things that they were doing were not allowed in the law of the Lord. The priests had come back. The priests came to the temple and told the people what the Lord had written for them. And that is what they were reading that day. And they cried. But Ezra's good news was that we are proclaiming a feast to the Lord. They were making a new covenant, and it says very clearly, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. They were hearing about divine worship. They were hearing about right worship, the right things to do. It was written in the book. The book was a powerful instrument. The word always is. Listen to the words of the beginning of the psalm. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the heart and the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. The relationship that the people had with their God, the relationship that we have with our God, is enhanced by divine worship. The divine worship that the church gives us in the Missal. The Missal gives us the rules that we follow to have a proper Mass. In order that we can make present among us all of those divine moments which are most important. When we come to Mass, we are standing at the foot of Sinai, wreathed in smoke. We are standing at Calvary, watching the Lord die on the cross. We are in the upper room. We are at Pentecost. We are at all those divine moments when the Lord gives us grace. The church shows us the way. The church shows us the proper worship of God. It's not just a matter of personal choices. It's not just a matter of picking and choosing. It's not just a matter of making up stuff on our own. It's handed down to us in a tradition which is 2,000 years old, which is handed down intact, though sometimes slightly altered, but always the same. We always have a liturgy of the word. We hear the scriptures read just as they were read in the synagogue. We hear the psalms sung. That's why the church puts so much emphasis on using psalms throughout the liturgy, singing psalms at the entrance chant, singing psalms between the readings, singing psalms at communion. It wants us to read and sing the scriptures. It wants us to enter into the mystery of God. And it has come down in that same tradition which Jesus spoke of, which Jesus says he fulfilled in the sight of the people. Jesus came and said, I did not come to change a word of the law, but to fulfill the law. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind. We always have a danger in our lives. We can be captivated by all sorts of things of our own design. We can be blind to truths. We can be poor in our spirit. However, the Lord has come. He proclaims liberty to us. He gives sight. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection from the dead. He is life everlasting. The Lord sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor and to proclaim liberty to captives.